Turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 25. Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 25. Last week we looked at the well-known parable of the sower, where Jesus says that it's that parable that will enable us to understand the other parables, specifically the parables in this chapter that deal with the growth of the kingdom and the life of discipleship. This will be true for the two parables we'll look at, as I said, and it'll be true for the other parables as well. These parables, all of them, seek to help us understand the kingdom growth for those who have ears to hear. The parables are an outworking of the message of Christ, who began with the fulfillment of time has come and the kingdom of God is here. So repent and believe in the gospel. This is an outworking of that message for those who have ears to hear, for those who have the heart of the Lord, those who are in Christ. So the kingdom will grow and continue to grow by the power of God's word. We're going to see and hear some very familiar phrases in these two parables, if you will. Something we need to remember is just because they're familiar phrases said by the same person doesn't mean that they're to be interpreted the same way. Many speakers use the same illustrations, same expressions, same metaphors even, to speak about a particular message. And you can use them all and define them all in the proper context. And we'll see that that's true here for us as well, because you're going to hear some very familiar things as we go through this. But the context sets the stage for us to do what Christ has commanded us. He began by saying, listen. And then he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hearing the word well is crucial in both of these parables as we consider the growth of the kingdom and the life of discipleship. So read with me, Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 25. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And still more will be added to you, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Pray with me. Father, we delight in the fact that we are here to hear your word. You speak in parables, and we pray that your Spirit would guide and direct the understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus begins with his parables, speaking, listen, behold, a sower goes out to sow. That was how he began that last parable. Listen, understand what is being said. And he's saying these things in the parable so that his own will see how the outgrowth of the kingdom is to be had. What the principles, what's the purpose, what's the underlying foundation of those of this growing kingdom and living as a true disciple. So he says in our text here, he says, for a second time, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. So what is it that he wants us to hear? Well, the first thing he wants us to hear with the first parable is that the future is bright in the kingdom of God. Well, that's what we'll be looking at. We look at verses 21 through 23. And the second thing he wants us to hear is that time is short. The stakes are high. So we need to be listening well. In verses 24 and 25. So it matters how we listen so that we can respond appropriately to what we hear. Here he's making it clear how important it is to hear well, to understand, and then to apply what he teaches for the growth of the kingdom and for our own life of discipleship and the lives of those that God brings into our midst. So we begin with what appears to be a familiar parable, verses 21 through 23. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Hear, listen, understand, apply. Now, I hope you heard in this little parable familiar words that we see other places, specifically chapter 5 of Matthew, and how that sounds similar. Don't put your light under a basket. In chapter 5, he's commanding his disciples. He's urging the disciples to do something. That is to let their light shine so that everyone can see, everyone can hear their witness, no matter the cost. Don't hide it away, but let it be seen. But in this parable, Jesus isn't actually telling us what to do. Instead, what we see here is a promise of something wonderful about the kingdom. It tells us that in the kingdom of God, the future is bright. It is the word of God that reveals God's plan and purpose and conclusion or consummation, because there's victory in Christ. Victory in Christ when we have ears to hear. However, the translation from Greek to English, even with our beloved ESV, is not quite accurate and doesn't quite portray what I just said. The English words in the ESV begin this way: "Is a lamp brought in?" The Greek is most easily translated: "Does the lamp come in?" Do you hear the difference? The English says, "Is a lamp brought in?" The Greek says, "The lamp, does the lamp come in?" This is where those words are crucial when he says, "Listen. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." We have to remember, again, that the parables were written to reveal the kingdom to those who are his. But they're written to hide the kingdom from those who are not his. Jesus told us that in verses 10 through 12 of this same chapter. But in this case, the question is, does the lamp, that is, a particular lamp, does that lamp come in on its own? A personal agency is ascribed to this lamp. So the lamp is a person, and the lamp comes in on its own accord to shine. Not to be placed under a basket by someone else, or not to be placed under a bed, or not to be placed on a lampstand. It's meant to be shining, but it comes in on its own. This personal agency is crucial. Mark makes that personally clear. This lamp is the light of the world. This lamp is Jesus Christ, the Word, the revelation of God in flesh. So Jesus says for all to hear that he has come, and he has come into the darkness to shed his light, not to hide it away, but to shine the light of the kingdom in the darkness of the world. There may still be closets, corners of closets where the light is, where there is no light, or caves where it's hard to see in the dark. But the light is breaking through. That's what the next part of this says. Nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. Let's see. Sean, why do we hide Christmas presents? That they'll are they going to stay in that closet forever? What's the point of hiding them? So it's a surprise for those who are meant to have the gift. Well, that's all that text means. There are things that were held as mysteries or secrets, but because Christ has come and shed his light, the surprise, the gift is for those it was meant for. Christ did that when he came in. That's the promise of the kingdom. That's why the future is bright, because Christ reveals everything that was previously hidden. Nothing is hidden anymore since he has come and he is risen. Oh, come on. He is risen. All right. All that has changed because he is risen. He is risen indeed. And it's changed because we know he's coming again. That makes a definite, that makes it definite. That makes, gives us good reason to believe the victory is in Christ. That's why he ends his parable with the way he does. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Don't work too hard. Put two and two together like I told the disciples last time. Think it through. You know that parables mean this. You know that they're here to express or explain this. The message that I've given is what? The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. So repent and believe in the gospel. Good stuff. And I've allowed you to do that by my coming. My death and resurrection makes it conclusive that it's there for all can see, all those who are mine will see. The kingdom has come. The king is coming again. Do we hear this declaration of a bright future? So now, after giving us a parable that deals with a promise, now he gives us one with an exhortation telling us that the stakes are high. And I'm going to read verse 23 again just to set the stage. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And then he says, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And still more will be added to you. For the one who has, more will be given. From the one who has not, even what he has not will be taken away. The first parable commands us to listen and to hear the promise. Now we're commanded to listen and hear the exhortation. A true exhortation describing how we are to respond to what we hear. Hearing, listening equals understanding and implementing. Applying it to our life. Once we apply it to our life, then it's clear that you've actually heard and you've actually understood. Prior to that, no one knows for sure. You don't even know for sure. But that's how that goes. The parable speaks to how we respond when we hear the gospel. The time is short. The stakes are high. So as I said, he begins with, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now that sounds familiar again, doesn't it? Matthew chapter 7. But this particular use of the word measure and this phraseology does not mean anything about do not judge incorrectly. It has nothing to do with judging at all. Jesus says, pay attention to what you hear. In other words, listen up. Listen well. Listen completely. Give what I say your absolute full attention. We got people falling asleep in here today, so how is that possible? We got kids that are making noise that don't enable us to really hear what's going on. So how can I give anybody my full attention? We have kids that rebel in our life. We have family struggles. We're wondering how to make the next bill. And I'm supposed to give complete attention to this word? Really? How do I do it? I don't even know how to do that. Is it a suggestion? Is it optional? It is not a suggestion. It is not optional. I can say all day long, I don't know how to do this, but does that say that I don't need to try to know how to do that? Does that mean I just sit back home and don't do anything? The command is real. And if the Spirit's within us, He gives us everything we need to keep His commands when we seek to bring Him glory. That's the response of faith. In the midst of hardship, we push on. We push through that wall that wants to stop us. That's the response of faith. That's hearing well. That's knowing what He's saying and how to apply it. Not just for us. In fact, it's really, in most cases, not really for us. It's for everyone we come in contact with. Give your full attention. Pay attention. Any parents in here use those two words this morning? See how simple the scriptures are? Pay attention to what you hear. We say it to our kids all the time. But Jesus is saying it to you and me. He's saying it to you and me. We don't get a free ride just because we're adults. We don't get a free ride just because I have a seminary education. Or I don't get a free ride. You can get a free ride if you have a doctorate. It doesn't matter. We don't get a free ride. These are commanded. So Jesus is saying here, not so obscurely like I just said, the measure of our engagement with the Word is how we respond to the Word, how our desires grasp its message, how we digest the truth, and how we actually apply that truth to our life that God has given us. That application, that measure of that, will determine the measure of blessing that we will enjoy. Those who give the gospel their full attention gain much. The gospel life we live includes how we love our children, includes the intentionality we have with our spouses, how we lead our families, how we do the work that God places before us, how we treat our employees, but mostly how we worship God together and separately. This is the up-close and personal gospel life that God has given us to live. How well many of you are reading through the scriptures. But how well do you integrate into your life every day what you're learning? How well do you stop? Do you hear and listen, understand and apply? How well are you doing? If you aren't integrating it into your life, you have no right to complain about how things are. Because God says, if you're not integrating it into your life, it will be harder than it is now. He makes that clear when he says, pay attention, even to the texts that you're so familiar with. Pay attention. When our God speaks, whether it's how we read it or how we listen to it on our devices or whether it's from being taught or listening to preaching, God says, pay attention to me. Can we ever safely ignore what God teaches? What joy and peace we miss. What hope and comfort we forfeit when we ignore the Word of God or are lazy with the Word of God. For what we have will be taken from us. So he commands, listen. Listen.